Real stories, reliable information, the latest technology and news. Welcome to the Plastic Surgery Hub podcast, connecting people with practitioners.
Hey listeners, it's Trish Hammond here again from Transforming Bodies. And today I'm talking to one of my favourite people in the world. I'm talking to Amanda. Amanda has had a couple of bouts of surgery, and I've been there for two of them. The second one, not that much of it, but the first one, I was there for a whole 7-hour procedure. And the last one that she had done, we'll just check if that was the only two she had, but I think she had one more. So the last one she had done was also a mammoth 7-hour procedure, but I wasn't able to stay for the whole thing. And it's really funny because Amanda's really a real positive person. And so, you know, sometimes like, oh my God, how can everything go so smoothly? And she's always really positive, and she actually had a hiccup this time as well, but she was also really positive through that. And I'm speaking to her now about, I don't know, a month, maybe 6 weeks, probably 6 weeks post-surgery. And she's like, I feel like I've never had surgery. So we're going to share that one. She's going to tell you a bit about what I think her secret's like, because she's like incredibly healthy. So welcome, Amanda.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How was that for a big, massive intro?
I know, right? I was like, when do I get in?
Is she going to stop? So, Amanda, you've had... How many bouts of surgery, how many lots of surgery have you had to after, like actually, let's go back to the beginning because this will follow on, but yeah. Basically you lost over 100 kilos or 97 kilos, which one was it?
96 kilos, yep.
96 kilos, who's counting?
Yeah.
And you did it with bariatric surgery and bloody hard work because it's like no matter what anyone says, bariatric surgery on its own just doesn't cut it. It's actually it's way more than what people are thinking.
Yes.
So you did it with that as well as, you know, really hard work. So you had your bariatric surgery and then you had your first lot of surgery. Just quickly run through that with us again.
Yeah, so that was September last year and I had a lower body lift, thigh lift with a purse string glutoplasty. And lipo and muscle repair and a hernia removal.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, that was
and the second and surgery?
FDL, lower body lift.
Okay, so that's fleur-de-lis for those that don't know, which means there's a big cut all the way down from your breastbone, I guess, the bottom of your sternum. Yeah. I think it's the bottom. No, I'm not good at anatomy. Bottom of your sternum down through to, you know, almost your pubis bone, but down the middle, and all the way down and all the way across. So like a big, like an upside down T.
Yes.
And that was your...
My first surgery.
That was your first bout of surgery. Did you have another one in between?
No.
No. Okay. I don't know why. No. I thought, did you have a revision or anything? No, you had your revisions done.
No, I'm going to have a revision. But, yeah, that was my first one. Then the second one, which was 6 weeks ago, mm-hmm. was arms and or brachioplasty, bra line back lift. Mm-hmm. Then the arms went right down my sides as well to get rid of my bat wings and a breast augmentation, a breast lift, and then with liposuction, and then a revision of my rear lower body lift.
Yep. And that was just like I was there. So basically when it started off, you started off on your back first. He did a bit of a revision around the butt area. And for the back lift, like I was actually really blown away. So the back lift, do you want to just give us a quick rundown, Amanda? So your scar goes from under your left arm at the all the way around the back to under your right arm.
Yes, straight across. And that pulled up because I'd lost so much. I had a lot of skin. So when I had a lower body lift, it pulled your bum up and then some of the back down, but not a lot. But the bra line and how Dr. Perrin explained it to me is everything from your pelvis up gets rid of. So mm-hmm. I had like saggy sort of wings at the back. Mm-hmm. And like when I sat down, I could almost roll it over. And so he took out about like, I think, 6 inches or something of skin. It made a huge difference. It's pulled everything up. Mm-hmm. Only about 500 grams, which I was surprised about, but he did say that that's a lot. But it doesn't sound like a lot.
Oh, it's a lot. Like when I saw it, it's like a big chunk of skin. Like you think of it, 6 inches high and about 30 to probably 40 centimeters wide. So it was a big chunk of skin. And like, because I know, like the first time I met you and I saw you and you were getting marked up by Dr. Perron, you said, and you look like a melted candle, hey?
Yeah. And what about those photos where I am lying down
Oh,
and it's just
no.
ripples of skin at the sides?
Yeah, so guys, Amanda's lost that much weight that when even when she was on the operating table and just lying down, like she's tiny. I know it sounds foreign to someone who's been really big. Like the word to say you're tiny sounds really foreign, but she is really tiny underneath all that skin. So she's lying down, and then just skin was actually just sort of like she was lying down and flat on the bed, face down, and you could just see like just bulges of just skin gathered on the side. So there was so much skin there that needed to be gone.
Yeah,
So the
and
lower
it feels
back lip,
so much better.
I beg your pardon?
Because it feels so much better.
Oh
Like
my God.
honestly, it's just, oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I can imagine. And anyway, then he flipped you over, and or actually the whole bunch of them. And one thing that blew me away about having this surgery, because every time you watch people have surgery, like I still get blown away all the time. But every time there's something different, and this time I actually noticed that when it was time to turn you over, no one kind of says a word, but in that operating room, everybody is so connected that everyone knows what's going on. So at the right time, the extra people come in to slide you off from the operating bed onto another bed so they can turn you over and then put you back on. I don't know. I was just like, wow, this is just like clockwork. It was just absolutely amazing. And I think that's what like when you pay like, thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars for surgery, it's because there's actually a real lot being done, hey. Like there was just so much being done.
And I just learned the other day about with Justin being a Frax, FRACS, it requires 12 years of like experience. And so no wonder he's so good at what he does. Like he really is.
It's funny because Frax means Fellow of the Royal. Oh, you would have learnt that on our social media, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I saw that because we
Love
put a
it.
question up and thought, does everyone know what Frax is? And a lot of people didn't know. So if someone is a specialist plastic surgeon or a neurosurgeon or someone like an ear, nose and throat specialist, all of those specialties mean that they have to be a fellow of the Royal Australian College of Surgeons, which is FRACS, which is what IFRAC stands for, which means they are fully trained in all of those operating modems. That's not to say that other people aren't, because you do have a general surgeon that's trained in general surgery. But when you're actually having surgery with a specialist who's specialized in the field that you are having done, that's when all of your ducks come into line, basically, really.
Excellent. Yeah.
Awesome. Sorry, I'm meant to come back. So then he flipped you over, or they all flipped you
Yes.
over, and on the front, so you had a breast lift and augmentation. Oh,
Yes.
hang on, you had, was that all at once? Yeah, your breast lift and
Hip
augment
reduction.
on the side. Yeah, sorry, breast lift reduction and augmentation. And
Yes.
what else did you do at the front?
So I did my sides, so the from under my arms and my
Oh,
arms.
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't think you were there for my arms, though, were
I'm
you?
so upset I wasn't there for your arms.
Yeah, I'll just have to get them done again so you can have
Might get mine done.
Yeah, I'll film it for you.
Oh.
And he cut from my, so it goes from my elbow down the inside of my arm, under my armpit, down to like just to the side of my boob, and then under my boob, and then it has the T, like the lollipop lift, where the reposition the nipples.
Yeah, right. Okay, so all in all, your surgery was 7 hours.
Yes.
The second one was about 7 hours too, is that right? Seven?
Yeah, I think so.
Beg your pardon?
Yes, I think so.
Two lots of 7 hours. Now, I know that, like, I came and saw you when you got back home, so a couple of days after surgery, because we did a bit of concierge work with you, which is what we do now as well. So can you tell us, because when I came to see you, you were fine, and you were like, seriously, I actually thought you were walking around a little bit too fast. I think I made mention to you, like, I'm like, you're walking around really, really fast. And you're like, oh, I'm fine, I'm fine. But, you know, I thought you were doing too much, only because I'm like the biggest sook in the world when it comes to surgery. And, you know, you're a bit of a, you know, bit of a hero, do a little bit too much. But tell us, so how are you feeling afterwards? And because I know you had a bit of a setback, and I'd really like you to share that with us, because,
it can happen. It can happen to anybody. So I had a hematoma under my left breast, at the side of my left breast. And so what happened was one of the blood vessels didn't close off. And so apparently it's a risk of any surgery. And so I noticed it when I was in hospital, and I'd said to Dr. Perrin, I've got this lump there. And he said, yeah, we'll watch that. And so it was only small. And then it was the 2 weeks after, or almost 2 weeks after, and I took my garment off to have a shower, and black blood started leaking out of under my boob and ran down my stomach. So I freaked out, and it was 11 o'clock at night, and it was before Easter, the Thursday before Easter, and so I couldn't get anybody on the phone, which is understandable. So I rang the hospital, and they said to come in and see them. So I went in there. They got in contact with Justin. They did a ultrasound, and they found that the hematoma was going from under my boob around to under my arm and around to the back, and it was a big mass.
Shit.
And so I couldn't put my arm down, and so then they said that I'd be having another procedure. And so I spoke to Justin, and he said that we'll get you in on Tuesday, which was the day after Easter Monday. And so I had to have the hematoma taken out. And he said it was about 100 mils of blood, and it was starting to liquefy, so it had started to bruise. It was instant relief, though. As soon as it was out, it was just day surgery as well. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing. I'm difficult to cannulate. So he was rubbing my arm, and the anaesthetist was trying to get a vein. And he's just so amazing. And he made me feel at ease. And because I was a little bit worried, I was thinking, oh, do you know what's going to happen? And then I woke up out of surgery, and he was still there. And he said that whatever blood vessel that was leaking must have stopped, because there was nothing leaking now.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home. And then the Thursday, it's the Anzac Day, the night before, I was pushing on the side, and then it started making a squishing sound, and I could hear it, and I was like, oh, and it was like where the hematoma was. And then I leant back, and I could feel it in my back, and so I rang Justin, I texted him, and I said, look, I know it's a public holiday tomorrow, I don't want you to worry, and send him some photos. And told him about the squishing. Well, he rang me back that night, and he said to me, we'll get you in tomorrow. And it's a public holiday, which I totally wasn't expecting, and we'll drain it. So it was a seroma. And what had happened, he said, is that's quite common after they have a hematoma. Mm-hmm. And it filled up the whole pocket in my bra line back lift. Mm-hmm. So it was another 45 mils he sucked out of that. And it was a lot of air and blood and serum. And then the next day he pulled out another 15 mils on the Friday. And then that's it. I haven't had any problem since. It's
wow.
all healed.
Wow.
And it's all yeah.
And am I right in presuming, or am I wrong in presuming, because that a hematoma can come from probably doing too much? Is that right?
Yeah. And I would have thought that if I hadn't got it when I was in hospital. So I noticed it in hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't as big, and I said to him, did I do this? Because I was really very conscious of making sure that I wasn't like putting my arms up. I didn't do anything I wasn't supposed to. And he said, no. He said it was just one of those things that can happen in any surgery. And that's what the ultrasound guy, the radiologist, said as well. Because mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure, have I been doing too much? And because I feel good, I always bounce back so easily.
You
and
do.
Great.
You
and
do.
I feel like I could go run a marathon.
Yeah.
But I did rest after that. I was like, and I sort of had to, so it was good.
Yeah. So 2 weeks after you had that bit of a setback, so how long did you take, like how long post-surgery are you now?
6 weeks.
I thought it would have been about 6 weeks. Are you back at work?
Yeah, I went back to work after Easter.
Of course you are. Of course you are. I can't believe I asked that question. All right, so you went back to work about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So tell me how, I mean, I already know this, but just share with our readers, like, how have you been feeling? Why do you reckon you have so much of a quick recovery? Like, do you have any idea what it is?
Well, I asked Dr. Perrin that because I said a lot of people say, you know, it's like, other people say that they don't bounce back like I do and they don't heal like I do and I'm a bit of a freak of nature. And so I said to him, what do you reckon it is? And he said, a lot of it's attitude. So I'm high energy, I'm a go-getter, I don't like to sit still, I'm always doing something. Mm-hmm. I love exercise, I did everything that he told me to do, I did. So, you know, the vitamin C and the zinc, I did all the vitamins and I kept the protein up and I just did everything he said, but he thinks it's some of it's genetics. Mm-hmm. Especially my healing, because I do heal like a freak. You can't even really see my FDL scar 6 months on, and I haven't done anything to it. And like even my arms now, people can't even see in the scar. I'm only 6 weeks, and my right arm in the tattoo, you can't even see the cut from my surgery.
Well, so have you ever smoked ever?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, because you're like obviously you're really unhealthy to be 100 kilos more nearly than what you are now.
Yeah,
now you're like you tell me what you do and you exercise every freaking day, don't you? You watch what you eat all the time. You like you've just totally changed your life around. So you are the ideal patient, really.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You do everything. You do everything right. You take everything right, but you're so not like me.
But I've had to double my calories while I've been in healing for the last 6 weeks. So it's been really hard. So I've sort of been eating anything and everything. But yeah. As of tomorrow, I'm back on the wagon. But I haven't put any weight on, which has been really good because that's a bit of a – it plays with your head a bit because, mm-hmm. you know, you've consciously been watching what you eat, living a healthy lifestyle, and then being told you have to double your calories and trying to eat lots of, like, different things and get your protein in. So now I'll go back to normal eating as of tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Well, let's talk about that a little bit more because when I came to see you, and I know that I've also had this discussion with Dr. Perrin a few times as well because I know he does a lot of bariatric patients and I know that if you're not eating enough calories and getting enough food in after your surgery, you know, you're not going to heal as quickly. You know, you are prone to, you know, more things going wrong. But more than anything else, your body needs protein to be able to, you know, rebuild itself. And I discovered that after one of my surgeries where I thought, oh, I'm going to lose weight now because this is perfect timing because I don't feel like eating. And the doctor was like, no, you need to eat more. Yeah. So we've had that discussion. So do you want to tell us a bit? Because when I came and saw you, you're like, oh, I'm just eating whatever I want. I'm eating like, you know, chocolates, whatever. It was just all about getting those calories in, whether they were dense or not.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, because we have tiny tummies, so we all know we get full quickly, and so we try and eat things that are nutritionally beneficial for us. Mm-hmm. Because we need the calories for the wound healing, and that's where I find when I'm on lots of these pages where people have this wound breakdown, and it can be because they're not eating enough because they can't or they're not. They're not conscious or they don't feel like eating, but you just have to. You've just got to set yourself an alarm. If that's what works, then do that. I have an alarm set on my phone at 12:30 to make sure that I've got my half of my water intake in by then. Mm-hmm. If I haven't, then I've got to madly try and get it in. And I just was conscious of eating like every 2 hours. And even if I wasn't hungry, it was like, I know I've got to do this. I want the best chance of healing. Mm-hmm. And it pays off.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you in the sense, like I wish I was as disciplined as you. Like I'm going to start doing that with that, putting an alarm to make sure I drink enough water. I think today I've drunk mostly wine, but yeah, it is Sunday.
Water in there, isn't it?
I think so, it's grapes anyway. All right, so you're 3 weeks post-op. So you've pretty much had a full body reconstruction. You started off with the first stage, which was the – do you want to just run through it again? So the first stage was the lower body lift.
Yeah. The body lift and
The butt lift.
Yes.
Thigh reduction.
And the thigh, yes.
Yep. And the tummy tuck with the flirt at the front. So pretty much it was all sort of focused on the bottom part of the body.
Yeah.
And the next surgery, which was how long after the first one was the second surgery?
So September, and then it was April, so 6 months.
Six, 7 months. So you gave your body heaps of time to heal. And the second surgery was the hang on, don't tell me. So I'm just the arms, the
bra line back lift.
Bra line back lift. You had your breast augmentation, lift and reduction.
And then the revision of the lower.
A little bit of revision on your butt, the lower body lift at the back.
Yes.
Awesome. So you've had everything you could possibly have done on your body. Seriously.
Yeah, pretty much, except anything on my face.
Yeah, I was going to say, so has this made you, are you like, right, I'm done now, or has this made you kind of like, oh, my God, now I want something else?
Well, I'm going to have a revision because I've lost more size because I work out madly when I can, and so my body changes, and my skin just doesn't bounce back like someone who's younger and wasn't as big as me. Yep. I just don't have any elasticity left.
Yep.
So I've got a bit of sag at the, like, my middle, sort of like a little bit of an apron. When people see it, they go, oh, that's nothing. I wouldn't even worry. Mm-hmm. But I paid all this money to have this done, and so when I see it, I'm like, man, I need to get that. You know, and my thighs have sagged a little bit, but they were tight. So I know that it's just my body has gone, well, you know, you've been big for so long, you know, what do you expect? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get, revision of my thighs, revision of my FDL, mm-hmm. and just the side of my side walls, and get a revision of those sides, and then I'm done. If it sags mm-hmm. after that, then you know what, it's okay. It's just, it's what it's meant to be. I just, mm-hmm. I can't keep doing a surgery every time I get a saggy skin.
Well, that's right. That's right. Yeah, at some point you have to like, right, this is it. I'm happy, with the way I'm at the moment. And because it's true, I think after having lost 100 kilos, you can't reach perfection. You still want to be the best that you can be, but it's that's not right. going to be like someone who's never lost weight. It's not going to be like someone who's never put on weight in the first place and weighs the same way.
Yeah, and I can't expect to look like an 18-year-old that's never had a child and never been big. Mm-hmm. And it's just about making sure that I keep that end goal as being realistic.
Yeah, no, that's so true. So tell us a little bit about like your after-surgery care. Like I know you're pretty close by to Dr. Perrin, which is really handy when you're having those, you know, those massive surgeries, you know what I mean? Like it can be, you know, quite handy to be close by because if you had been far away to, you know, it's hard to get back there. But so can you tell me a little bit about the experience? Because I mean, I know the clinic myself quite well because I've been there a few times and I know what their after service is like. But do you want to share with people like what you feel like you're getting when you go there? Because I know that now they've got that, I'll let you explain it.
I can't fault them, honestly, Hirslen Clinic and Dr. Perrin. He's just been always amazing. He always says hello to me, even if he's passing. If I go in for heel light, so heel light's included in Dr. Perrin's aftercare, and it's the LED light therapy. So it stimulates healing down into a cellular level, and it's a light that is put on against your wounds, and he does that. I'm not sure for how long after. Yeah, you have many sessions you have, but I did 4 weeks, twice, like every second day I was there. In my lunch break, I was going back at work. Yeah. And it's great. I don't know what I would have been like without it, but it's great. And it's included, and he makes the effort to come in and say hello, and he gives me a hug. He said he loves seeing me, and I love seeing him, and he's just – they're just amazing. They always check up to see how you're going. Even the hospital, like after the hematoma removal, they rang me the next day and then the day after, making sure that I was just okay. Mm-hmm. And it's just they make you feel like there's nobody else. It's just you.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but it's nice to feel like that.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Nothing's too much trouble.
Yeah.
There's no stupid question. There's no too many questions. Like whatever. Justin is just so patient, and all the girls are just lovely as well.
Yeah. You know, it's really funny because sometimes, because I know what it's like for myself, and I know the sort of questions I ask, I know the questions that we get on the group. I know, like, sometimes you'd be like, oh my God, but how can someone just go over the same thing over and over again as well? But it's almost like people that are in the industry are kind of conditioned to, well, actually, not everyone's like that, but you know what I mean? Like, conditioned to be like that. Yeah, yeah. It's, they've got this sort of inner empathetic being, and like you said, it's, you know, I'd be like, oh my God, I give up. Sometimes I'd be like, oh my God, I give up.
No, they're amazing. I've got a lot of time for them, and I even sent Justin a bottle of wine for Christmas to say thank you. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, because he probably doesn't get that. You know, I know a lot of people think, oh, you know, he's making a lot of money, and but I don't believe that he's in it for the money. Like, he does a lot of things that are outside that, and I can't fault him. Yeah. I really can't.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's so good to hear. I've loved watching you on your journey. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and it's been great because we've kind of become friends on the way as well. Yeah. And it's so funny because we just met in a Facebook group, or in our Facebook group, which is really funny. You meet people in Facebook groups and they can end up becoming really good friends.
Yeah, it's been lovely. Are you going to film my next video?
Yes.
My revision?
Yes.
Cool. We won't tell them.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, that'd be good. That'd be good. I every time I see you, I'm like, oh, I wish it was me. Like, I wish I looked like that, because you look amazing. Like, you've got such a great, you obviously exude well-being now after being so unhealthy for so long. You're the epitome of, you know, the healthy woman. You know, it's fantastic. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. I do too.
Awesome. Well, look, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story with us tonight.
That's okay. It's always good talking to you.
Yeah, I love having a chat with you too. So listen, look, if you want to find out a little bit more about Amanda, there's a few articles about her story on the website, so you can have a look. You can probably just look up Amanda and come up with a heap of stories on there, or if you want, you can email us to info@plasticsurgeryhub.com.au and I'll send you a link to her stories. If you want to find out a little bit more about Dr. Justin Perrin or her Selling Clinic, you can also look them up on the website, or you can once again send us an email. Thank you so much for joining us, Amanda.
Thank you for having me. No worries. Jump on it, guys.
No worries. Have a great night. Bye.
You too. See you. Bye.
The material provided in this podcast is general information and does not constitute medical advice, nor is it a substitute for consultation and advice from your own practitioner. It should not be used to diagnose or treat any medical illness. Any medical or surgical decision should be made in consultation with your own doctor or practitioner and not based on the materials provided in this podcast.